Praise God, praise God, praise God. Happy Father's Day, everybody. What a wonderful day it is. Pray that wherever you are, it's a beautiful and blessed day, filled with family and friends and good times. Father's Day. I believe this is the only country in the world that celebrates fathers and mothers like it does. I don't know of any other, but we certainly started it, whether anybody else followed us or not. And you may have noticed that through all the songs today, I had the flag of the United States up there with the cross through it as we celebrate our 250th anniversary of this great country. And no, we're not perfect. But it's funny, I was watching the news, and one of the reporters asked one of those protesters, he says, see, the United States is the greatest country in the world? I said, no. He says, which one is better? The guy could not answer. And that says a lot. So on Father's Day, let's remember the fathers of the past. This country was founded by a bunch of Christian men, not all of them, but most of them. And they're called our founding fathers for a reason, because they started and birthed something new. George Washington is the founding father of the country. Great men, not perfect, but with an idea and with a zeal to come as close to a godly nation as possible. This is the only nation on earth where you still have your free will. God does that too. Whether you like what he tells you or not, you have the free will. This country parallels the Bible quite a bit, and it's very exciting for me to see that. We're coming in on the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. June's a very interesting month. During the Battle of Midway, which is in June, the things that helped the United States win that victory were no short of miraculous. The odds on those things happening were, you can't even count them up. Somehow, some way, Rome was left undefended and didn't have to be destroyed in June of 44. And of course, the Allies landed in Normandy, sealed the final blow to the Axis Empire. So as this month of June goes forward, it's really, this is a very strong month for us on this 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. 8 years ago today, my father was on the Battle of Okinawa. And the reason they dropped the bomb was because Iwo Jima and Okinawa were so tough a fight, they thought taking the island of Japan would be horrific. Expecting casualties in the millions. But the point is, these men, like my father, came back and showed what real fatherhood was when they came back from the war. Most of them were godly men, men of character, men that did what had to be done, didn't want to brag about it, didn't glorify in it, but they did what had to be done. Just as men of strong character and quality, and I'm calling all men right now to do the same thing for every person in their vicinity. Now, Karen's and my children are in heaven, but I'm a godfather to several people. I'm very honored by that. We have lots of nieces and nephews, and we try to show them character. And when I had my businesses back in the day, I tried to be a father figure to all the young people who worked for me. I did what my father taught me to do. I taught them right, how to do things, how to work properly, and how to respect themselves and honor. As we come here at ABC, this is my third anniversary as pastor of the church. I'm honored to be the pastor here. We must also remember that Apostle Josh was the founding father of this church. He started over two decades ago with a heart and a passion and a zeal to help people become better Christians and get to know the Lord better and prepare for the challenging end times that are coming. And as much as we talk about World War II, the end times are going to make World War II look very simple. They're going to be horrific. And we're going to need all of you men to stand up and do the job you're called to do by the Lord. To be an example to everyone around you, young and old. Every person in the world, when things start falling away, are going to look to the men of the kingdom of God. And when you're standing there amongst all the chaos, being the men that hold it all together, because you have Jesus Christ inside of you, you're going to find they're going to be drawn to you and you can lead them to Christ. It is the men to take the examples. Abraham was the father of many nations. Why? He heard and honored God. He did what God told him to do. When somebody wanted to pay him, he says, no, I don't take your money because I want God to bless me. God will be all my profits. He was a very, very rich man. Go down the list. Isaac worked for his father-in-law who was not a good man. Came out doing what God told him to do. Took care of his wife and family. Joseph went into Egypt as a slave, as a prisoner. He still believed in the God that of his fathers. And in believing that God, he came out to be the prime minister of Egypt and again, took care of his family. Why? Because he heard God. He listened to God. He heard God say, this is what that dream meant. He didn't know himself, but he was attuned to the Holy Spirit. And he wasn't even spirit-filled. All of you should be spirit-filled. You should hear the voice of God on a regular basis. And we should be doing feats like Joseph did. When the end times come, we need to be hearing like Joseph heard. And be prepared as Joseph was prepared for Egypt. Now we hear a lot of times that, oh, we're not in this world. We're not of this world, we're in this world. That's true. We are in this world. Well, Joseph wasn't of Egypt, but he was in Egypt. But because he listened to God, the world followed him. Moses took people out of Egypt to their promised land. Daniel, a man of such faith, that when the lions came up to him, they just kind of licked him and petted him and they went to sleep. And the king respected and honored him. And the king destroyed his enemies. And Daniel was a ruler in Babylon. He wasn't the king, but he was a man of high power. Not of Babylon, but in Babylon. As we go forward towards these end times, we are going to be people of power. Not of this world, but in this world. Why? Because we hear the voice of our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, the one thing I do what my Father tells me to do. If Jesus, the Son of God, did nothing without the leading of the Father, should we do anything different? We need to get in tune to our Heavenly Father, to hear His voice continuously, to follow His lead all the time. He has set us an example of truth. He cannot lie. Why was Solomon so wise? He had the wisdom of God. People from all over the world came to revel him because of his wisdom. Because he knew and heard God. Now he messed up later on, no question about it. But when he was living for the Lord and doing for the Lord, it's untold how much his power and influence meant over the world. From one of the smallest nations in the world the world respected him. Now, we as powerful Christians are going to be a small nation too. But if we're hearing from God, they're going to respect us. It's estimated that in today's dollar, Solomon's wealth is $2.5 to $2.8 trillion. The top 10 richest men of the world don't even come close when you combine it all. Because he heard God. That's why it's so important to spend our time taking time, turn off all the cell phones, all the computers, get out your Bible, get out your prayer books, pray, do some praise and worship, and then sit in quiet and listen for God to give you instructions. Have a pad of paper and a pencil there. Listen to his instructions. Why did Noah save the world? Because he heard God. Why 750 years building, 20 years building an ark? Because he heard God. And no matter what it looked like in the world, he had to believe that what he heard was true. And he had to believe his God was telling him everything he needed to do. And he did it. And he was ridiculed. And he was mocked. He was given a hard time. And all these things. But because he heard God, he stood on his word. The God that he heard was true. And his family was saved. I'm encouraging you to spend time listening to God. Every day, set a block of time out and listen to God. He will never steer you wrong. I said this in public before. Every mistake I've ever made is because I didn't listen to God. I guarantee it. So where are we going with this? We're going to take Father's Day as a time to honor and worship the most important Father of all, Father God. The God who created everything in the universe. He let us be here in this great nation. I didn't say perfect nation, but it's a great nation. We have opportunities here the world does not have. You've been given a gift here the rest of the world does not have. We do not want to be like the ones with the talents who buried their gift and didn't take advantage of their opportunities. So as you spend your quiet time with God, and he tells you what to do, you're going to see your situation grow in character and in strength, in health and in prosperity. You'll be an example to those around you. Because the only thing God wants is more people to follow him and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Everything else is secondary to God. And by the way, Satan wants the same thing. He was able to reject God and Jesus Christ and follow Satan. And that is the main battle. But if you look at the people who are doing satanic things, they're dishonest. They're deceivers. Satan's a deceiver. They're challenged in their lives. They have no hope. Whereas we have challenges, but we have hope. We have God. We have Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We have the Holy Spirit continuing to talk to us all the time. And as we do this, as we go forward, we grow, mature, stronger. And James 4 says, resist the devil, he will flee from you. And as you're stronger, you resist the devil easier. As you're stronger, the devil starts to get afraid of you. And so you get to the point where you get up out of bed, the devil will say, oh no, they're up. This is the goal that we need to be searching for on this Father's Day. To seek first the Father. Seek first the kingdom of God. As we go forth seeking first the kingdom of God, many great things are happening. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I couldn't be happier with all the challenges we're looking at right now to be in this place at this time with our relationship with God, preparing for the end times. Because the end times are going to come with people prepared or not. But if we're prepared for them, I see all my families and loved ones that are not doing the right thing. Good quality people, wonderful people, very good friends. But when the challenging time hits, they're going to come to us. They're going to say, "We need help." You're going to say, "The answer is Jesus Christ." They're going to say, "Tell me more." You've got your open door. You don't have to chase them. They're going to be attracted to what you have. Why do people follow Jesus? Miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders. And every word he spoke was from the Father. Nobody could argue with him. Even the most scholarly Pharisees couldn't win a debate with him. Frustrated them to no end. But because of their pride, they wouldn't turn and humble themselves. But that's okay. They made their choice. They had their free will. Nobody forces anybody to follow Jesus. It's of your own free will. So go forth on this Father's Day. If your father's still alive, give him a call. I don't care what your relationship is with him. He's still your father. Wish him a happy Father's Day and pray for him. I prayed for my dad this morning. I didn't pray for him, but I prayed, thanked him for being such a good father to me. I couldn't ask for a better, more wonderful group of men to have taught me how to be a man. And I married into this wonderful family over here and had a great father-in-law who I actually called Dad. And I miss him. And I miss my dad. And they're probably together right now, having a good time together. And that's okay. Because they're happy, they're not in pain, they're with Jesus. But these men sent down an image. They did more by their actions than by their words. They handled everything with a character of strength, determination, and honor that unfortunately is missing somewhat in our country today. But there are a lot of young people out there that need a father figure. Be the person they're drawn to. Let your character shine. Let your godly character show out. Let the light inside of you shine bright so people in the darkness can see you and come to you. When I was at a company a while back, they're going through a merger transition problem. And I prayed. And when I prayed, everything worked out. And several of them came by and thanked me for taking the lead in prayer. They weren't believers, but they knew I prayed. I let my godly character shine through. Now, they didn't follow me to the Lord yet, but a seed was planted. The next time there's a challenge, they may go to somebody else whose character shines, who the love of God shines in them, who their situation needs help, and that good, godly man or woman is the answer. So as we go forward today, I want you to think about, how can I do something in a more godly way How can I be a better example? To go forward. So you look at our Heavenly Father, the name of this message is receive your Heavenly Father's love. I think that says it all right there. A, for God so loved the world. We all know John 3:16. If not, you've probably never been to a ball game. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Tim Tebow was a Heisman Trophy winner, one of the pros. But during the championship game he was in, most guys put mom or something under their name. He put John 3:16 under his eyes for the markings they did. 70 million people looked up John 3:16 because he had it stuck on his eyes. You may not reach 70 million people, but you will reach the people that God is sending to you when you look and act as God wants you to act. And it's not easy sometimes. And sometimes there's consequences to it. I couldn't keep working for a company that wanted me to lie one time. I said this before, I'll repeat it now because it's important. The man says, James, those little white lies are okay. I said, boss, no, they're not. Obviously, we didn't get along very well. But I wasn't going to lie to customers, you know. When I had my businesses, my word was good. If I quoted a price on something and it came out to be three times as much work, I still honored the first price. And the next time it came in, I corrected that, but the bottom line is that if I spoke something, it was good. No problem. I had a reputation for being honest, being quality. And people came to my business. We need to stand up and do the right thing, even when it's tough. Okay? Because Jesus did. In Gethsemane, he asked his father, I think it was three times, to take the cup from him. But he didn't. He went to the cross for you. He did what was tough, extremely difficult, painful. But he did it for you. Because he loved you. And you know, most of these good godly men I talk about loved everybody. 1 John 3:1. See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us. That we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason the world does not know, recognize, acknowledge us, is it does not know or recognize, acknowledge him. And unfortunately, there's too many people out there that don't give good godly examples. But if we give that good godly example, they're going to start seeing more of God. And they're going to recognize there's something different. It's not going to be easy. Just like it wasn't easy for Noah. But the bottom line is that our objective here is for us to get closer to God and bring other people closer to God. And in doing so, all things come together. Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, telling forth divine counsels, and the young men shall see visions and divinely granted appearances, and your old men shall dream divinely suggested dreams. I must still be a young man because I still see visions all the time, so praise God. The more I try to get closer to God, the more I see, the more I realize things. Yeah. But God is no respecter of persons. If I can have visions, so can you. How do you get visions? You spend time with God. You hear His voice. You develop a stronger and stronger faith. The more you know that you know that you know that that's God talking to you, less and less and less the devil can try to convince you or challenge you. You cannot counterfeit something unless there's a real thing first to counterfeit. Satan's the counterfeit of God. He's not the real thing. He tries to counterfeit. Now, how do you know the real thing? You can't study all the 10,000 different counterfeits. You must know the real one so good that the minute you see the counterfeit, you know it's not real. When you spend enough time with God and in His Word, and you know that that is the truth, when that doctrine comes in that's a little bit off, you know that's not true. And it just takes a little bit off to pull things way out of kilter. Think of a skyscraper 100 stories up. If that bottom rung is 1 degree off, how far off is the top floor? It's all about training and retraining yourself. Spending more time with God to listen to Him, to hear His voice. But to do that, you need to spend some quiet time alone so you can know His voice. Most people that I know, when they come up on the phone, I don't have to ask who it is. Especially my wife. Okay? I know her voice. I know it intimately. The goal is to know God's voice that intimately. Okay. And when you know God's voice that intimately, and you start prophesying, tell people what's going to happen, and it does, they'll start recognizing you. And when times get more challenging, as they are going to get that way, they'll come to you. And you will lead them to the Lord. And that is the greatest reward. Know that because you did something right, somebody's not going to spend eternity in hell. I'm all for prosperity. I talk a lot about prosperity. I get that. I'm all for that. I think that's fantastic. Don't misunderstand me. But the biggest joy in my life is seeing somebody come to Jesus. It's such a thrill. So, at ABC, there's an offshoot called 6:33 a.m. And Pastor Karen and I are up every morning at 6:33 praying with people. We do the prayers out of our book, which are based on Healing School, most of them. And then we go into an hour of spiritual worship, praying our spiritual language just to hear God's voice better. We've been doing that for a little over 18 months now. Actually, just under 18 months. I take that back. In that time, Jesus appeared to us 11 times. Last two times, He stayed with us for over 2 hours each time. But what really excites me is that the last time, it wasn't me that saw Him first. It was one of the people on the team. And that means they're getting through. That means they're getting to know Him. That means they're hearing His voice and they can see Him. And to have Jesus reveal Himself to you is a very, very exciting thing. The other day I got this prophecy. Now, it's based on Jeremiah 29, and that's right after the Hebrews have been enslaved for 70 years. I'm put it into modern day times. God has planned for you, as it says in Jeremiah 29:11. Today your faith has been restored and grown exponentially. Come and pray to me, I will listen to you. God is listening to you as you do this. You will seek me and find me. We're finding God. When you seek me with all your heart, keywords all your heart, I'll be found by you. I'll bring you back from the captivity of mind control and trying to attack many of you. I will not work against you anymore. I asked, Lord, interesting, why that word? Because people are so bombarded between computers and TV and things they see and external stimulus that their minds are being attacked constantly. And Satan is putting thoughts in their minds that are ungodly. And the bottom line is that if somebody hears something often enough, their mind will believe it to be true, even if it's not. If I put somebody in a room, continually told them that 2 + 3 = 4, and then over and over and over and over again, at some point in time, they looked at a piece of paper and saw 2 + 3, they would write 4 beside it. That's how powerful external stimulus is. But because the Lord has shown up, he's freeing us from the captivity of mind control. How many people out there deal with Alzheimer's dementia challenges? That's a major form of mind control. How many people hear the words senior moment? That's a thing of mind control. Okay? Jesus is here to set people free of that. Do you think Moses had senior moments when he was leading people out of Israel at 85 years old or 80 years old? You think Abraham at 100 years old had mind control problems when he was leading his people? Senior moments, a lie of the devil. Was break free of it. How? By letting the Lord come in and remember, you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. There is no reason for mind control to affect you in any way, shape, or form. Okay? Number 2. Jesus is getting rid of any strife. We move forward now. He's giving you everything you need. God has ministered to your hearts and minds, setting you free from the thoughts that the enemy has put into your minds. Those channels of fear are getting free. Many people are afraid of the world today. Okay? We can't be afraid. But if your hearts and minds are pure, you have no fear. Okay? But he's saying you're free from the thoughts of the enemy. The thoughts of the enemy are not going to work on you. You will look at that thought and say, that's not of God. Get out of here. Why? Because you have the mind of Christ. Now, Pastor Karen got this one the other day. You are entering into a new spiritual season. You will no longer struggle or strive. You enjoy the rewards of the seed you have sown, of prayers, of time, and good deeds. You will be catapulted to fulfill your destiny for the kingdom of God. Let's think about that for a second. It's a new spiritual season. Okay, we're breaking through, breaking off the chains the enemy's put on everybody. Breaking off the lies he's put on everybody. Breaking off everything he said, that you're not worthy, that you don't deserve it. We're breaking off every single thing that he's put on you because Jesus died that you would be set free. He set the captives free. That was one of his purposes. To fulfill the law, set the captives free. As we do this, doors are going to open. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to have to do some things. Peter still had to drop his net where Jesus told him to do it. Once in the deep and once on the right side. Sometimes not at the same time. Sometimes he changes things. Okay? But each time he did, the nets were so filled so fast that they barely could haul them in. Jesus got to be, Peter had to pay taxes, go catch a fish, and there's a coin in his mouth. He still had to go catch the fish. He didn't just wave his hand and the taxes were paid. So we got to do something. But there's no struggle to it. The first fish you catch. Now you got to go catch 100 fish and go through each one of them. Okay? All right? No longer struggle or strive. That's exciting to me. We've been struggling too hard. Now I'm not saying don't work. But don't let it be a struggle. Listen to what the Lord has for you to do. Do what he asks for you to do. It's going to line up properly. And this is Amos 9:13. We are now in the days that the plowman is overtaking the reaper. Won't be long now. God's decree is that everywhere you look, there will be blessings coming to you. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim one thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening all at once. I'll, being God, make everything right again for my people. Are you his people? If you're his people, he's going to make everything right for you. He's going to make you debt-free. He's going to make you prosperous. He's going to make you healed and restored and healthy. He's going to make you repent all those challenged relationships you've had in the past. He's going to, for you, do every single thing that you need done. He says, I'll make everything right again for my people. So you look at your list of things that are challenging you. Remember, God's making everything right. Those challenges are dissipating as we speak right now. They are going away. I don't know exactly how, but I know that with God, all things are possible. And with God, his word is true. I don't have to doubt my God. I believe my God. We're having victories continuously in God. So as we go forward today on this Father's Day, believe everything you've heard today to receive inside of you, that you are men and women of God, and that your character is strong, and the devil doesn't stand a chance against you, and that whatever challenge you're having, God is making right. And ask him what you need to do, and listen to him. If you don't get it right the first time, go back the second time. If you're right the second time, go back the third time. I can tell you how many times I had to practice bowling to get my stroke down so good. It didn't happen right away. But the more you practice, the more you work, the more you lean on it, the better you'll become. I'm a big Michael Jordan fan. No disrespect to the others. When this guy was still at the top of his game, he still worked harder than any other player in the league. And they will tell you that. He worked on his shot. He worked on his shot. He worked on his dribbling. He worked on this. He worked on that. He didn't rest on his laurels. I'm encouraging you to be that kind of a Christian. The kind of a Christian that works on your faith, develops your faith, develops your strength inside of you, your spirit of God. So no matter what you do, you know that you know that you know. Now, when I took martial arts, we didn't learn a block one time. We did a block 1,000 times. We did a punch 1,000 times, did a kick 1,000 times, did the combinations 1,000 times, went back and did them again, and did them again. So when you were in a sparring match, you didn't have to stop and think about it. You just did what you had to do. When you train yourself that well in the Word of God, you don't have to think about what you're going to do. This comes up, just like Jesus. This is the verse that comes against it. How did Jesus defeat Satan? He knew the Word of God so well, Satan couldn't trip him up. How did he beat the Pharisees? He knew the Word of God so good, they couldn't trip him up. No matter what he said, he had a spiritual answer they couldn't argue with. And when Satan comes to you and says, you're not worthy, you say, I've been forgiven. I've been pardoned by Jesus Christ. That word doesn't mean anything to me. And we stand on that word, and we do affirmations, and we pray and believe God until we just go forward, completely healed and restored, as though there's never, ever a challenge. So I'm going to pray for everybody today. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise, I worship, I glorify your holy name. I thank you for all you've done for us, all you continue to do for us today. I thank you that you've led all the people of ABC, that you fill them up with your spirit right now, and your anointing saturates them continuously, 100%. That they feel that change inside of them, pushing out any part of the enemy away from them. That as they feel inside of them the anointing that gives them the faith and courage and confidence to go do what you need them to do. The ability to spend time with you, to hear your voice, to know that it's your voice. Just as somebody who's knows the piano, knows when the key is off a little bit. They can tune it by ear. They know your voice. They know your voice. And they hear you and obey. They hear and obey. And as Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. We all come to you, Lord, to say, teach us, so we can also say those words. We only do what the Father tells us to do. And as we do this, we see the victories that we have. And those victories draw more people through us to you. And I bless everybody right now just to receive the Holy Spirit anointing right now, the saturating everybody right now, to feel that presence, to be lifted up right now, to enjoy the fact that God is their God. And it doesn't matter, as long as we are on God's side, we have the victory. We have the victory. So I just bless everybody right now to feel that strong anointing that's going forth right now. It's literally passing through to everybody. It's literally passing through. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Fill them with boldness and confidence to go forward now. Boldness and confidence. Paul knew when he got on that ship he was going to make it to Rome. He knew that he knew he was going to make it to Rome. The ship crashed. Didn't matter. The snake bit him. Didn't matter. He made it to Rome. He made it to Rome on the best vessel in the Mediterranean. That what the devil tries to do, you come back with more. What the devil means for bad, you'll turn it into good. So Lord, Paul went from a galley slave to a guest on the biggest ship in the Mediterranean. As you take us from our current positions to a higher and higher level because of the spiritual blessing we bestow upon people. As Paul blessed the father of the governor, we'll bless people, and the blessings come back to us 30, 60, 100 fold in Jesus' name. Glory to your holy name, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I see people getting healed of mind control challenges. I see blessings bestowing upon you right now. Heart challenges are going away. People's circulation is improving. Stamina and strength are coming back. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to your holy name. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory. Glory to your holy name. Let your anointing fall, Lord. Saturate every person in them, on them, around them. Let people see a victory right now in Jesus' name. Glory to your holy name. Glory to your holy name. Glory to your holy name. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, still send his anointing out to everybody. This is not at all I had planned for today. It just kind of was taken over by the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Lord, for doing that. So Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise and glorify you. We bless everybody here today and thank you that they receive everything you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, praise the Lord. If I can get through this, we'll do communion now. All right. If you know any sins, please confess them now. If not, please repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm not aware of any sins.
I am not aware of any sins.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Of all unrighteousness.
Of all unrighteousness.
According to 1 John 1:9.
According to 1 John 1:9.
All right. Okay, communion. 1 Corinthians 11:12. When Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please repeat after me. As I partake of the Lord's Supper,
as I partake of the Lord's Supper,
I thank you, Heavenly Father.
I thank you, Heavenly Father,
for your plan.
For your plan
that redeemed me.
That redeemed me.
So I can be.
So I can be
with you forever.
With you forever.
Jesus Himself.
Jesus Himself
bore my sins.
Bore my sins
in His own body.
In His own body
on the tree.
On the tree
that I.
That I,
having died to sins,
having died to sins,
might live for righteousness,
might live for righteousness, by whose stripes,
I have been healed,
I have been healed, and I receive healing,
for every part of my body,
for every part of my body.
Okay, let's take the body now in Jesus' name.
I agree and I receive Jesus' name. First Corinthians 11:25-26 says, "In the same manner, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Can you please repeat this prayer with me? I partake of the blood of Jesus.
I partake of the blood of Jesus.
That was the payment for my redemption.
That was the payment for my redemption.
Thank you for redeeming me.
Thank you for redeeming me.
With your shed blood.
With your shed blood.
That made a way.
That made a way.
To be a part.
To be a part.
Of the Heavenly Father's family.
Of the Heavenly Father's family.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us partake and drink of the Lord's cup in remembrance of Jesus now.
Let's do our 20 affirmations. We've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Are we ready? We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. One more. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.